Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome Jerry Crawford from Donegal Racing to Racetrackers. Hello, Jerry.
Bill, good morning. It's great to be with you always.
Well, thank you. It was nice to see you, to meet you in person last week, just prior to Keene Ice's last big victory in the Suburban. You had a huge crowd there. That had to be a big excitement for you.
Yeah, you know, Bill, when people like yourself show up at a big race like that and we win, we pretty much insist that they come with us from now on. That's how that big crowd gets accumulated. So just be prepared.
Yeah, once you're with the traveling circus, you get to stay on board for the next stop, right?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. You know, to be serious, we had 116 Donegal partners and friends there. For the Metropolitan, and it's just terrific for the Suburban, I should say. It's just terrific for racing to have large groups with that kind of enthusiasm, and so it was certainly a showcase day for Keene Ice to do what he did.
Well, to stay on that theme, I can attest visually with my own eyes the age gap in people that you had there. You had people who were, you know, grandparents. You had people who were grandchildren. It seems like the age gap spanned about 80 years from your crowd.
You know, we really do. I'm glad you mentioned young people, because that's a real focus of Donegal Racing, is to try and get young people interested in and involved in racing. Obviously, they're the future of our sport, and I just love it when people, you know, 5 years old, 10 years old, can develop the same love affair for the animal and for the sport that I have and that so many of us have. So, you know, Larry Comas, when we took Keene Ice into the winner's circle, Larry Comas said, Donegal Nation looks like the Mormon Tabernacle Choir in the winner's circle, only bigger.
That's funny.
I thought that was awesome.
You know, photographer Adam had to bring out the wide lens to get everybody in the picture.
and great work he does, by the way.
Well, that's great. Well, you know, Keene Ice stepped up to the plate. You know, I'm sure you know many, many handicappers and many people on Twitter had kind of written Keene Ice off and probably didn't have the greatest of confidence in him, but he's a real honest stayer, and a mile and a quarter seemed to help him. I'm interested in your thoughts on the ride. He stayed much closer than he has in previous races.
So, Bill, you're a very astute observer, and already you've put your finger on the big question about Keene Ice. Todd and I had a spirited discussion ahead of time. Todd was worried that there wasn't any pace in the race. And I said, I think maybe he likes it that way, because it allows him to maintain contact with the leaders. You know, they don't open up 10 or 15 lengths on him. And it still doesn't seem to take away from his kick, as you saw. I mean, he was pulling away down the stretch. So I don't think the lack of pace was that big a negative.
Well, in some ways, it may have helped, because it seems like Shaman Ghost was forced to kind of deal with the threat of a loose leader, and probably was taking a little bit out of his game. But the race just developed beautifully. And as you said, it was a clear-cut victory for Keene Ice. There's no question about it. And I guess you have to start thinking now about mapping out the rest of his campaign. What do you think is the natural next step?
You know, I haven't had a long talk with Todd, but I've read some of the things he has said, and he and I are tracking, which is that if Keene Ice is ready, we'll be looking at the Whitney, even though it's only a mile and an eighth, but we know it's a track he loves up at Saratoga, where he won the Travers over American Pharoah. So that is a logical next step. Then maybe sit him down until the October 8 jockey, or October 7, I forget which, Jockey Club Gold Cup.
Okay.
Knowing that he likes Belmont, and knowing that he likes the distance, and then, you know, God willing, take a look at the Breeders' Cup.
Right. Well, I guess he's off to stud at Calumet Farm next year. You've already made those arrangements, if I have that right.
Yes.
Do you think, is there a possibility, the Pegasus World Cup is a new wrinkle now, and it used to be that horses wrapped themselves up in October or November and prepared for the breeding shed. With that $15 million purse on the line out there, is there a chance that you can stay for that race and then still make the breeding season with Calumet in 2018?
Sure. Calumet, we've had a great relationship with them, love doing business with them. They've been very easy to deal with. And look, if he looks live for the Pegasus, I'm sure they'll be as interested in that as we will.
Oh, good. I mean, well, that's an interesting thing with that race where it is on the calendar. It's probably not ideal. Normally, they like to, you know, wind horses down for the breeding season. But it's early enough in the year that you can do both, and it's a lot of money out there. So that would be tremendous. Keen Ice, I guess, is you've had so many successful horses. Keen Ice is probably your biggest money earner, and of course winning the Travers was tremendous. But you keep moving forward, and I see you bought two nice horses yesterday at the Stacy Tipton sale in Keeneland.
Yeah, we do a partnership each year, usually, you know, somewhere between a dozen or so horses. And we were at the Phasing Tipton July yearling sale, and we did come away with a Street Boss Colt and a Malibu Moon Filly. As you know, we've focused, we call ourselves Derby Dreams, and so we're primarily interested in buying classic distance colts. But we've had so many people on our waiting list to get into Donegal that we haven't been able to get in, because our current partners stay in, that we thought we might expand and buy two or three fillies, with an eye on the Kentucky Oaks and other classic distance filly races. We actually bought one filly in the last 10 years.
Okay.
And she ran in the Oaks. So it seems as if the algorithm approach we take to selecting horses works just as well on the filly side as on the colt side.
All right. Well, the filly you bought, I think, is out of a more than ready mare, right?
So she's a Malibu Moon filly. That's right.
But yes, a Malibu Moon filly. But is she out of a? I thought she was out of a more than ready mare. So that's
correct. That's correct.
So that gives you a little bit grass breeding there too, as far as moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think it makes the filly flexible, and that's a good thing. We have Puka right now, who ran in the Kentucky Oaks a couple of years ago. Bill Mott trains her, and Puka has won both on dirt and on grass, and probably a little better on the grass. Folks will be able to see her in the first half of the Saratoga meet. And you ask about other horses, you know, just in the first couple, 3 weeks of Saratoga, we'll have Bala Rocks running in the four-star Dave on August the 12th. We'll have Arklow could go in the Racing Hall of Fame on August 4. He won the American Turf on Kentucky Derby Day. We've already talked about Keen Ice and the Whitney on August 5th. We're kind of loaded in addition to the two-year-old and three-year-olds that are just starting their racing career. So the spa is going to be a lot of fun.
Well, that's great. I mean, well, it's a testament to how successful you've been and how much fun you people have that your partners stay in year to year. I mean, that's obviously the success to any business is return customers. Do you think you have room for expansion now that you have a waiting list? Do you think you see making the stable bigger than it is, or are you comfortable with the size?
Well, you know, we might increase it this year by adding, as I said, two or three fillies. Beyond that, we'll be looking to buy 12 quality colts. We do most of our yearling buying at the Keeneland September sale, although we'll be looking in New York at the Saratoga Select sale and at the New York Bred sale. Pretty tough company pocketbook-wise in that Saratoga Select sale. And we are not people who spend $1 million on a horse. We don't think that makes economic sense. And so it's harder for us to buy there. But the September sale at Keeneland is really our bread and butter. We love that sale. It's big enough that you can find really good horses, really well-bred horses, and that continues to be our focus. But, yeah, we would love to hear from people who are interested in Donegal racing. We can't, you know, we won't know who makes it into the partnership until September.
Okay.
But having said that, we add people to our mailing list and we keep them involved and invite them to the races. So being on the waiting list as a prospective partner has its benefits.
Well, there's no question that exclusivity creates demand, right? So it's good. If it's a difficult partnership to get in, it's probably worth being in, I guess, is the
Well, we've been very blessed. You know, we're banging around with a win percentage just north of 25% for the year. We finished north of 25% a year ago. And we don't run in small races, as you know. So we're very grateful to the cast of trainers we have. I mentioned Bill Mott. We've got Todd Fletcher and Christoph Clement, along with Tom Morley up in New York. We've got Bob Baffert out in California, and on it goes. So very good group.
Well, you know, Keen Ice, and to stay on Keen Ice just for a minute, we'll let you go. But, you know, to stay on Keen Ice, he's a bit of a throwback. There was a day when people and owners with connections weren't afraid of losing a race if it was a stepping stone towards another race. More recently, it seems that you have to have an unblemished record, or you have to try to be – have perfection. But Keen Ice, as you say, runs in all those big races, picks up big checks, you know, as he's moving forward to a big effort like he had in the Suburban. It's a whole different approach, and it's one that I think, you know, worked well in the past and probably will continue to work well in the future to aim high.
Yeah, you know, he spent the first half of his career running against American Pharoah, and of course beat him in the Traverse, and now he's spending the second half running against Arrogate, who may just be, we'll see as the year plays out, may just be the best horse of my lifetime. And I'm not in my 20s anymore.
Right.
That spans a considerable period of time.
Well, that's a discussion. I'll tout myself a little bit. I'm going to be on a panel for the up in EquestriCon in Saratoga on August 14th, and it's going to be debating the greats, and that's the question.
Ah,
you know?
Good for you.
Yeah, so that, you know, that's fun. I mean, debating the greats is – it will be, I guess, just that, you know, and Arrogate certainly has had as good a run and as an impressive a year as you could have. And you're right, you know, he may be, you know, purely one of the best we've ever seen, but we hope to get him back to the races and, you know, and maintain that form.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll be exciting, except for us, if we have to run against him.
Yeah. I was going to say, run where he isn't, but, well, Jerry, this is great, and congratulations on your continued success. But more importantly, your happy partnerships and your happy partners. And you know, if there's overflow that you need to expand, you know, I guess there's a certain internet radio host who'd be happy to help you at any time.
Well, Bill, thanks to you, and thanks for, you know, you don't just mail it in. You show up at the racetrack. It was great to have you there on Sunday. Racetrackers has become a real staple in the coverage scene, and thanks for what you do.
Ah, well, thank you very much. Kind words, and I'm not so sure why we do it, but we love it. It's an opportunity to speak to people like you and to be part of the game. So I look forward to seeing you up in Saratoga. I'll be up there when you're running those races, I'm sure, and you know, maybe I'll even jump on the Donegal Racing bandwagon.
Sounds great. Sounds great. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Jerry Crawford, everyone. Thanks again, Jerry.